Would you turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16. While you turn there, I want to take this moment to express my appreciation to this congregation. It seems that over the past year, every time I turn around, I'm having to thank you all for something, for some generous way in which you've shown kindness to me and to my family. I appreciate very much the opportunity to go back to Atlanta over the past couple of weeks and extend my stay there unexpectedly, and all of the arrangements that were made here to make that possible, including men like Harry and Stan and Jeff, Isaiah, being willing to step up some with very short notice and take my place in preaching. And I'm very thankful for their ability to do that, first of all. And then, of course, you have to couple willingness to use the abilities that we have. And I'm very grateful for the willingness of those men and several others in this group who are willing to help out in times when it's needed. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. Acts chapter 16 is part of Luke's record of some of the preaching journeys that that Paul undertook in the course of his serving the Lord as an apostle. Verse 1 says that he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. This is our introduction to one of the most famous of Bible characters, to the young man, as he is described here in these verses, the young man Timothy. I have to express to you that usually I think of Timothy, certainly in here in Acts, I usually think of him not so much as a man, but as a young adult. A teenager, perhaps. In fact, I think some commentators even speculate that he was probably a teen, or certainly in his early 20s, right in a part of life that so many of you are in at this point in time. And though Luke refers to him here as a man, I think probably most of us tend to think of Timothy as that young boy that was raised by a Jewish mother who became a believer in Christ, who had a father that it appears by the implication of these verses is it's not an implication. He is a Greek by statement, we're told, but he is a Greek. But the implication seems to be that he was not a believer. And so, whatever age Timothy was at when Paul came to his hometown here in Acts chapter 16, he had spent some time prior to this as a young man, as a young adult growing up in a home that was not probably the quote-unquote ideal home that we oftentimes think of, with two parents who shared their faith in Christ. There was another influence in Timothy's life. We learn in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We learn that his grandmother was there as well, and that she, like his mother, had become a Christian, and that they together exerted some great spiritual influence over Timothy. And so we probably could rightly imagine this this young adult, this teenager, growing up in this home where things maybe were not ideal. But nonetheless, there was the presence and of what Paul says in 2 Timothy was an unfeigned faith. That means it was an unfaked. It was sincere. A faith that was demonstrated to this young man by both his mother and his grandmother. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about raising Timothy and the challenges, some of the challenges that must have gone along with that. But I want to begin by talking to you about the fact, you know, that it could not have been easy being Timothy. He was living by standards, once with the descriptions we have of him as a young man well respected by the Christians there in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, living under the influence of the examples of his mother and his grandmother and their unfeigned faith, he clearly was a young man facing a challenge as he grew up. And I can only imagine, as a teenager, the challenges he faced, much like teenagers today would face, to live by standards that were different than those commonly accepted by his friends. He lived in an area where it was very common in a pagan city to be exposed to such things as, you know, pagan religions and the practices of paganism, the immorality of the day, and particularly among the Greeks. Can only imagine, with his father being a Greek. We don't know what his father was like, but there's that possibility that he saw in his father someone who was living in a standard very different from that of his mother and his grandmother. And as he grew to that point in his life as a teenager and even on further, where he began to make choices for his life, he had to choose. He had to choose between the influences of paganism and of unholiness that he saw around him, just like many of you today are having to do. And you're having to choose maybe between what a parent or parents. Maybe you're blessed to have two parents who are who share their unfeigned faith in Christ and are trying to exert good influences over you in that regard. And count your blessings if you are. But maybe you're not. I know some of you are growing up in homes that you have parents whose views about Christ and about serving Christ are different. Some of you are growing up in homes where both of the parents are not aren't present. Maybe one is there, but both are not. Some of you are growing up in homes where both of the parents are not there, and some godly grandparent or grandparents or other relatives in your family are providing you with the kind of upbringing that gives you great advantage if you'll take it. It wasn't easy being Timothy, and it's not easy being a young person today. I always think of that story, the Old Testament scriptures, where the prophet says, describing his going to where the people of God, Israel, was being held in captivity by the Babylonians. And he says this. He says, "I sat where they sat for 7 days and was overwhelmed." You know, when you sit where someone else sits, it helps us to appreciate what they are enduring and what they are going through. And I just suspect that if us old fogies could sit where these kids sit for 7 days, that we would be overwhelmed at what they are facing, at what they're having to overcome. I mean, you know, I go all the way back to the 70s. And I know that's a long time ago. But there are a lot of things about the 70s that were pretty bad. I have to tell you, not all my friends survived the 70s. Not all of my teenage friends who were Christians and with whom I went to church, not all of them survived the 70s spiritually. Some of them have lost their souls because of the things that we faced. So, I mean, I know something of what you are dealing with. But I also am aware that if I really had firsthand experience with what you're dealing with, it would be overwhelming to me. It's not easy being a teenager during this period of time. But now there's a second thing I want to tell you. And that is, it was not easy raising Timothy. It was not easy to bring up that boy in those circumstances, there in his hometown. It was not easy bringing him up under those conditions where there were challenges to the faith of his mother and his grandmother, and challenges to the ways that they wanted him to behave and the things that they wanted him to do. It wasn't easy to convince him to become the kind of young man that he became. That when Paul came into the town, he would want Timothy to go on the trip with the preaching trip with him. And he would want to take Timothy and to build on the faith, the unfeigned faith that had been instilled in him by his mother and his grandmother, and to build on that, to create a man who later on, many years later, in the book of Philippians, Paul would write of Timothy, "I have no one of like mind." I mean, he would say, there's nobody like Timothy. It wasn't easy to convince a young man to want to become such a person. But that is exactly what occurred in the life of this young man. And it is exactly what can occur in the life of the young men and the young women who are here today. May I tell you quickly here what had to be done in order to get Timothy to choose to be the kind of man that he became? It's exactly the sort of thing that's going to have to be done to get you to choose to be the kind of young man or young woman that can be useful to the Lord. It required, in the upbringing of Timothy, that he be loved. If you're a parent raising a teenager, if you're someone who is providing an upbringing in the place of parents of a teenager, here's the first thing you need to do. You need to love them. You know, we hear a lot today about the improper touching that is done of kids in schools and in other venues. And there is a proper touching, you know. There is a proper embracing and demonstrating of a genuine love. Over in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter and the 20th verse, we see where Jesus is telling the story and says in verse 20 that he got up and came to his father. This, of course, is the prodigal son. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now you might say, oh, well, yeah, David, but that's just a story. That, you know, it's one of the parables of Jesus. And that's true. That's true. But I'm inclined to think that most of the parables of Jesus were based upon real life experiences. And that it is a real life experience in the life of a young adult who's growing up and under the influence of parents and those that are giving the care of parents. It is the real life experience that they have received this kind of demonstration of love, this proper touching, this embracing, and this kissing. That's what, it's not easy to raise a Timothy, but it's going to require that we love those children that are in our care if we're going to convince them to become men and women of Timothy's character. Now, there's a second thing that has to be done. Not only do we have to love them, we have to lift them up. And what I have in mind here is found over in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and in verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. You want to know what we need to do? If we want to raise a Timothy? Well, Paul really says, here's something not to do. Don't treat them in such a way. Don't be so overbearing and dictatorial and demanding. Don't exasperate them. Don't take from them the heart to try and live life in a good way. It's sad, but it is true that there are some young people who wanted to be a Timothy, and it just got driven out of them. It got driven out. That desire was driven from them. I don't know why Paul addresses this to fathers, unless it is that we're just kind of more inclined than the mothers are to be over demanding and unfair. And what may appear to be uncaring. If you want to raise a Timothy, it's going to require that you be willing not only to love them, but that you be willing to lift them up, that you be willing to do what is necessary to encourage them. Now, young people, you may be inclined to say, that's right. This is the first good sermon this guy's ever preached here. and that's okay. That's okay. But let me tell you something. As I've been saying, it's not easy to raise a Timothy. Because it's not easy. It's not always easy to love you and to lift you up and to be encouraging to you. Because a lot of times, you're not behaving like you ought to behave. I like the story of a guy told a young teenager who was complaining about his parents and how they were doing, you know, and my brother and sister, they let them do this and that, and they won't let me do this, and it's just unfair, and, you know, just kind of unloading on the parents. And this guy told him finally, he says, well, you're just going to have to give them a break. They've never raised anybody like you before. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You're different than brothers and sisters that you may have. You're not the same. And we're not always going to make the correct decisions. But let me tell you something, young person. If you've got someone who loves you and who does what they can, the best that they can, to lift you up, to encourage you, you need to be thankful for that. Be careful that you don't become overly critical. There's a third thing that we must do if we're going to raise a Timothy. Not only must we love them and lift them, but we must limit them. And here a lot of modern day parents fail miserably. We must be willing to set limits, to say no, to incur the wrath of that teenage boy or that teenage girl. To say to them, you cannot do that. Now the day may come when they grow and they are off on their own and they choose, now, I'm going to do those things. The day may come when they go in a direction that we don't approve of, and it will break your heart, I'm sure. But as long as they live under our charge, and we have the responsibility of parenting, then we must limit them. There's a great story about this in 1 Samuel. And the high priest of Israel, a man by the name of Eli, was condemned by the Lord because he did not restrain his sons. And his sons did wicked things and evil things throughout Israel because they were allowed to become men who had no respect for God. And God himself described how that happened when he said, you did not restrain them. He did not put limits on them. He would not say no and enforce it. And if we want to raise, I'm going to tell you, Timothy did not become the kind of young adult that he became, and later on the kind of young man that he became. He did not become that kind of person without the limitations being placed upon him that godly influences of his mother and his grandmother would have required. And my point to you, young people, is this. Limitations are not bad. Now, I know that you probably hear a lot from friends and other sources in our culture that would say otherwise. That, you know, they've got no. You probably have friends tell you, your parents and those that are raising you. Well, they got no right to tell you you can't do that. Well, let me tell you, yes, they do have a right, and very often they have an obligation, a God-given obligation, to put limits on you. The day will come when you'll make your choices and you'll be responsible for those choices. And as the Bible admonishes us to do in the days of our youth, you need to remember your Creator, because you're going to give answer to Him. But you're at a point in life right now where you have people who are over you and who have an obligation to limit some of the things that you might want to do. And the final thing that we must do to raise a Timothy is to lead them. Scriptures talk about bringing them up. And that's exactly what parents and those that are providing the oversight of parents, that's exactly what they have the responsibility to do. It's to lead, to show the way. Now, it's not easy raising a Timothy, because it requires more than listen to me, and it requires more than I'll tell you what you should do, and you'll do it. And it requires more than some kind of a dictatorial relationship with a child. To raise a Timothy requires a willingness to lead them, to show them the way. That's what Paul was saying about what Lois and Eunice had provided for Timothy when he described their faith as an unfeigned faith. It wasn't fake. It was genuine. It was real. They had shown him the way to become the kind of man that he did become. Now, young people, may I tell you this one thing, and then we'll conclude. I suspect that you are facing, if you aren't, you will, the temptation to be dismissive, maybe sometimes disrespectful, rebellious toward those people who are trying to do for you what is the best thing that could ever be done for you. And if that's the case, if you're facing those temptations, or if one day it comes along and you just remember, it's not what that old preacher David Owen said. or what some Bible class teacher said. It's what God said when he said, you honor your father and your mother. You honor those that are providing that kind of care for you. You keep that in mind and you live by that standard, as different as it may be, as hard as it may be, and it will serve you well. If you're not a Christian, today is the day for you to become one. If you understand that Jesus Christ came into this world to be your Savior, that God his Father sent him to die, to pay the price for your sins, if you would turn away from those sins and confess your faith in Christ, if you'd be baptized, wash away the guilt of those sins today, you'll become one of his children. We pray that you'll do so while we stand and sing.